You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell, and this is The Life Aquatic. My guests today are Marlin and Johan, who some of you may recognise as the owners of Ram, a smart aluminium sailboat which features in a very professional-looking series of videos on YouTube. Like many people, Johan and Marlin yearned to escape the rat race, but unlike many people, they've done it, and they've done it both in style and wholeheartedly, leaving their home country of Sweden during some pretty awful winter weather and just taking the wind and the rain and the hail in their stride. Marlin, let's begin at the beginning. How did you two meet?
Well, we met 2 years ago, and that was online, actually, on a matchmaking site.
Okay, and what was the name? That's how my wife and I met. We met on a site called mysinglefriend.com. What was the name of the site that you used?
The site had a quite funny name. It was called Happy Pancake.
Okay. That makes no sense to anyone outside of Sweden.
No, but not
in Sweden.
Not in Sweden either.
Right, so you're a couple of happy pancakes. Had you sailed before you met Johan?
No, I had never sailed or been on a sailboat.
Right. But Johan, you are a very experienced sailor, right? I mean, have you ever worked professionally as a sailor?
No, never professionally. I've been sailing a lot since I was about 20. So I've been doing a couple of trips, longer trips. So yeah, quite experienced, yes.
Marlin, when did you first see the sailboat? Or did Johan pull it out of the bag on the first date? Did he show you the sailboat on the first date? Play his whole hand.
He actually did. Could think okay. It's cliche, but no, we actually decided to meet there because Johan was living on the boat at the moment. So yeah, the first time we met was on this boat, on Ron.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Johan, let's look at a list of your achievements, because you've crossed the Atlantic how many times?
Depending on how you're counting a Atlantic crossing, but I think it's 4 times.
Wow. Okay, and you've rounded Cape Horn as well. Yeah,
that's true. On my way to Antarctica.
Blimey. So, this voyage that you're on, it's pretty easy for you.
No, I wouldn't say easy. I mean, all voyages like this is something that you need to prepare for. So, and it's been a while since I've been out sailing like this. So, of course, in the beginning, you always feel a bit rusty maybe, and you need to build your confidence again. But, of course, it's easier sailing than Cape Horn.
In spite of your experience, did you feel like you really had to put quite a lot of work into preparing this journey that you're on?
Of course, there's always a lot of work with the boat preparations, but not with myself, if I can say it that way, to learn more stuff. And I already have the experience, but of course there's always preparations with the boat, especially with Ron, the type of boat we have. It's not a new boat. So.
Yeah, but sure. The boat was new for you. You've only had it for two years, so we've done a lot with the boat to prepare it for a long-distance sail.
Okay, well, let's talk about the boat a little later. I want to focus on you guys to begin with. So, Marlin, what were you both doing before you decided to set off on this trip of a lifetime? What were your jobs?
Our jobs, my job was as a social worker, and I worked for the city where we lived in Malmö, working with welfare questions.
Okay, and Johan, power tools. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's true. I used to work as a product manager for Bosch with power tools, or the accessories for power tools. And I'm a carpenter from the beginning. So.
And you were living on Ran. How about you, Malin?
Yeah, we were both living. Well, you lived like sometimes on the boat, but we moved in to Ron a little bit more than a year before we left Sweden. So we moved aboard to be able to save up more money.
And you know, I asked this of a lot of my guests actually, but I wondered: was there a moment? Was there a key moment when you just, like an epiphany, when you thought to yourself, "Oh, I really am sick of this. I want to head off around the world." And was there another moment when whoever decided that first said to the other one, "Let's go. Let's give up our jobs and just sail away."
I would say there were many of those moments, actually. I mean, of course, after we met, we decided quite quickly that we wanted to go sailing or do something else to escape the rat race.
Yeah, because we both wanted to do something else. Of course, I was thinking more like traveling or maybe moving abroad. But when we met and... yeah, all this with the sailboat and that you had it. It was like the perfect solution to just go sailing.
Yeah, because, I mean, when I bought Ron, I always had in the back of my mind that I want to go away sailing again. So it was the perfect...
opportunity.
Opportunity to do it. And but, of course, the plans changed a bit during the... between when we met and when we actually sailed away, when we left Sweden. The plan from the beginning was to sail a bit later, to wait a bit longer. But, we decided to go a bit earlier than we first thought.
And did you put on your profile on Happy Pancake that you wanted to sail away? Did you say, I'm looking for a mermaid to sail away with me around the world? Or Malin, did you say something similar?
I mean, I can't really remember.
But you had a picture of you on the boat.
Yeah, I might have stated something like that. Maybe not fully obvious, but...
there's something like that you wanted to go sailing again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So you spent a year saving up and planning your departure, yeah?
A little bit more. It was almost...
a year and a half.
Yeah.
But we lived on the boat for...
more than a year.
A bit more than a year to save up some extra money and prepare the boat.
Where are you now?
Right now we're in the Canary Islands, on the island La Gomera, in San Sebastian. Yeah, in the marina here.
And do you have a route worked out?
No, not really.
Not really. I mean, when we left Sweden, we had the first goal was to sail down to the Canaries. But we started in the winter time, so we've been sailing quite slow. But after the Canaries, we didn't really have any plans. Of course, we have it now. The plan now is to sail south to Cape Verde and then cross the Atlantic to Brazil.
Once you've got to Brazil, will you head north into the Caribbean and then through the Panama Canal, or are you going to round the horn?
If Johan gets to decide, we will round the horn again, or he will do it again. But no, we will. I think we've decided to pass the Panama Canal, so we'll go north and then west.
Yeah, we definitely have decided that we will go north after Brazil, and then. But exactly which route
we don't know.
No. We'll see that later.
Yeah, depends on the weather. And Johan, I know that you are quite keen to see Papua New Guinea. When do you think you'll get there?
It's really hard to tell, actually. I mean, we tend to take our time on the places we visit. So I would say maybe a year, maybe two, hopefully two.
Oh, I love that. I love the fact that you're saying a year... maybe two. And Marlin, which Pacific atoll do you have in mind?
Any of all the atolls would be amazing to see. I don't have any specific in mind, but I just want to go there. I've only seen those atolls on pictures, and they look so beautiful. All of them.
And if things goes as I have been thinking, we're going to spend a lot of time in the Pacific, and there's a lot of islands and places to visit there. So I think you can spend many years in the Pacific if you want to.
Do you think you'll make it as far north as Hawaii?
Maybe. We've been talking about it a bit, so maybe we go there. But, yeah, we'll see what we think when we're on the other side of the Panama Canal.
You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell, and this is The Life Aquatic. I'm talking to Marlin and Johan, who have left their hometown of Malmö far behind to sail the world on the adventure of a lifetime. So, Johan, I'm interested, what made you set off during the Swedish winter? I mean, I've seen the pictures, the video, and you've hit some pretty horrendous weather. You could have avoided that.
Yeah, of course we could. I mean, the plan from the beginning was to start in May, early June, maybe, this year. But, I mean, we decided, because we both had stopped working in the end of the year, last year, and the boat was more or less ready. And we thought that, okay, should we stay in Sweden for another 5-6 months? But without working, you burn a lot of money. So we thought, well, why don't we go now and we can just take it slow and, it's cheaper. So we decided to go in the winter.
Yeah. I mean, you're planning to... I mean, you're in a marina at the moment, but presumably that's because you couldn't find a sheltered anchorage. But you plan mostly just to, you know, swing on the hook.
Yeah, of course. Definitely. I mean... to stay in the marina every night, we don't have a budget for that. And but sailing in the winter time and also here in the Canaries, there isn't many sheltered overnight anchorages in the Canaries. But further south and on the other side of the Atlantic, that will change, so we can anchor more, or all the time actually.
So tell us a little bit about Ran. First of all, the name. Ran is a Norse goddess, right?
Yes, that's right. She is the deep sea goddess from the Nordic mythology. She lived out at sea and took care of the drunken seamen. So, we thought it was a good name because it was connected to the sea. So, that's the story.
And it's
about
a bit easier to pronounce also, Ran. Three letters on the radio. The boat used to be named Blåtunga, but that would have been too hard to pronounce over the VHF. So
yeah, can we try that again? Blåtunga.
Blåtunga.
It's blue tongue in English.
Yeah, direct translation.
It's
blue tongue.
It's a sword, right? From the from the Nordic.
Yeah,
from
true.
Viking saga.
Yeah.
So blue tongue, blue tooth. What's wrong with you? What's the blue thing? I suppose it's cold. It's cold up there. So tell us about Ran, then. She's aluminium. How long is she? What's the accommodation like?
Yeah, Ran is... She's built in 1987. She's 40 foot and built in aluminium. She has a fin keel with actually a wing keel. Quite unusual. At least with the draft, we have 2.1. We changed the mast, all the electronics on the boat. And
it's a one-off?
Yeah, she's a one-off.
Okay, so there's nothing else like her out there.
It's a Swedish constructor, right? So she's built in Sweden
by
a brand called Beeson. So they've done other boats, but in this size, Ron is the only one existing.
Yeah.
So from the beginning, she was built for racing, because the owner wanted to race her, but he also wanted to be able to go sailing for longer trips. So it's a
mix of racing and long distance cruising. Quite weird, but it works actually.
So from the beginning, she didn't have any interior.
No.
So it was only for racing. So the interior came a bit later.
Yeah, but she's quite fast. We like her. She's a good mix.
And she's roomy inside? Because some 40-footers of that kind of vintage are not, they're not great inside. Does she feel pokey, or does she, or do you feel like, I mean, I'm presuming, because you're Swedish, that you're quite tall.
No, I mean, I'm a 185, but the headroom is no problem. But she's not like a new 40-footer size-wise inside. the size? Mm.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit smaller than other 40-footer, especially the Salon.
She was built for a couple, the boat, to be in, living on the boat. So there is many small areas on the boat for storage and such. But so the saloon is a bit smaller than on a modern 40-footer.
Let's talk a little bit about your videos. Because lots of people upload videos of their adventures onto YouTube. You know, lots of people have got a GoPro action camera or a cheap copy of a GoPro action camera on the end of a stick. But very few of these videos are anywhere near as professional looking as yours. Yours are great. And I've got to ask, first of all, about your drone. Because if you do own a drone, don't you?
It's Phantom DJI.
Yeah, we almost lost it the other day.
Yeah, yeah, it was...
Whoa!
That was really, nerve-wracking.
We tried to fly it from the deck when we were at anchor, and it drifted into the backstay of the boat. And, but Malin catched it, centimeters from...
Yeah, I was able to catch it before it dropped in the water,
but
the propellers were still going, so it was just hitting everything, so, two propellers broke.
Yeah, but it survived, and we were able to just change the propeller. So,
but now we're a little bit afraid to fly it from the boat, and it's a pity because you can get such good footage from the boat, and it's so beautiful to be able to see the boat and when you're in an anchorage. But I think we have to practice more, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible to fly it from the boat, but you need to practice a lot on it.
Sure, but you can program takeoff and landing, right? So that...
Yeah, you can, but that's when you're on land. If you're on a moving object that is rocking and going back and forth, it's quite hard. It's harder than you think to just lift it from the deck. And if the boat just moves, 50 centimeters to the side, if you're at anchor, it's stuff can go really bad.
And do either of you have experience in television? Because the videos are really nicely edited together. How many people watch them?
Now we have around 12,000 subscribers on YouTube.
So
wow.
Yeah, that's amazing, from all over the world. So that's
it's
great.
Really cool.
That's pretty impressive. That's really impressive. Well, that, I tell you what, that is a testament to the quality of the videos. That's because they're so good. Because there are loads of them out there. There are lots of different families and couples who are making sort of video diaries of their adventures on boats. But yours are particularly good. So you've basically got a fan club now. But I mean, do you have questions and inquiries from people all around the world?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we got a lot of comments on the videos, and also a lot of emails. It can be everything. I mean, people want to get to know us a bit more. Maybe they want to, some want to ask questions about a boat or,
a lot of people are writing to us because they want to do the same thing, and maybe they have questions on, want to get some advice, or just say that they like the videos and that they get inspired. So that's really great, because that's why we do the videos, to be able to inspire other people to go sailing or to just go traveling or to do what you dream of.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Actually, it is. Watching those videos, it is really inspirational, actually. I imagine that one of the questions that you're quite possibly asked the most, it's certainly a question that comes up a lot in my world, the various inquiries that I get from boat radio listeners all around the world, and that is, how are you funding this trip? I don't want to pry too far into your personal financial affairs, but that's what a lot of people want to know. They're sitting at home listening to this and wishing they could also set off on their own big adventure. So how has it been possible for you to give up your jobs? Was it simply a question of saving up the money?
Mostly, it was. We both I
already had a boat, but of course we put a lot of money into the boat.
And we had already some savings. Both you and I, we had our own savings, but then we moved into the boat to be able to save just as much money as we could. But yeah, but we've actually also been able to make a little sort of an income from the videos.
Yeah.
And that's really, really great. And it's helping us a lot to be able to just continue this adventure. So we have people supporting us through a website called Patreon, where you can support the videos.
It's like a crowdfunding site.
Well, actually, I mean, I think that's perfectly reasonable. I mean, I know that some people go on Patreon and they try knocking out videos and they're just not very good. But if the videos are like yours and they're decent quality and they're a good watch, then it's worth paying $1 or $2 or a few dollars, isn't it, to watch each one. I think that's perfectly reasonable. It's like buying several chapters of a Kindle book or something like that, isn't it? You keep up with the adventure.
It's been just amazing how much people wants to support us and like our videos. So that's really, really, really fun and encouraging. It's really amazing. And we've also met some of our patrons when we've been traveling now south. When we come to different places, we've met people taking us out for trips, taking us around the places. So
yeah, showing where they live and
amazing.
Well, that's really nice, isn't it? So Ran Sailing is not just you two now, it's a little community.
Yeah,
we'd like to see it like that.
Will you do any other work while you're sailing in order to keep... Might you stop for a month somewhere to, I don't know, do some carpentry work, for example, Johan? Or...
Before we left Sweden, that was what we were thinking, actually, to... I mean, I have a lot of tools with me on the boat. So, of course, if we get an opportunity to earn some extra cash, we'll definitely take it. So
if somebody in Brazil on the way, or Panama, or one of the Caribbean islands, if somebody's got a little project that they want maybe somebody to work on, then you're the guys, huh?
Yeah, just write us an email and
of course
we'll do it.
So how long do you think you'll keep going? I mean, you mentioned earlier on 1, maybe 2 years to get to Papua New Guinea. Well, that's... Papua New Guinea's kind of roughly halfway round, right?
Yeah, it is. But we haven't decided how long we will stay out or how long we will travel, and we like it.
We want to have it open, you know, and of course, in the end, it's economics, of course, but also what we want to do. But for now, I think we're thinking at least 2 years more.
Mm.
Yeah. Then we'll see.
You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Mike McDowell. My guests today are Marlin and Johan, who are living the life aquatic aboard Ran, a pristine, and I've seen the photographs, it is absolutely pristine, 40-foot sailboat, and currently they are in the Canary Islands. So let's talk a bit about family and friends. What do they think of your trip?
Well, they think it's really cool and... Many of our friends say, we could never do it, but they think it's really nice to follow us and to see what we're doing. And we've had some friends visiting us, so it's really nice.
Okay, so they've flown and met you various places.
It was last week we had...
had friends from Sweden visiting us.
And then we've had... some family also visiting us during the summer.
So there were no problems for you, Marlin, for example, because I am the father of two daughters, and there were no problems for you early on in the relationship saying, Dad, I've met this guy and he's taking me off around the world.
I think my mom was more worried than my dad, but they know that I like to try new things, so I'm very curious. And no, they said, no, just do it. Travel, see the world, and do what feels good. So, no, they were very encouraging, everyone.
Perfect. Johan, your family the same?
Yeah, I think they're used by now.
I guess so, yeah. You've been doing it for years, of course, haven't you? Have you both always had a kind of wanderlust? I suspect that you, Johan, have, since you've been all over the place in a boat, but... Marlin, what about you? Have you always had this desire to see the world?
Yeah, I think so. I've always liked to travel and wanted to travel more. And when I've done it, when I've got the chance, and also lived abroad. I've lived in Spain for 1.5 years. So yeah, I think so, definitely. I don't like to, when I was living, when I went back to live in Sweden, I got bored after a while. I wanted to see something new and just experience culture and other people and languages. So yeah, definitely, I think so.
Johan, do you think after a voyage of this kind of scale, 2 years minimum, that you will ever be able to return to an ordinary life, you know, with a job and maybe a mortgage?
That's a tough question. I mean, I've been trying it in the past to return to a normal life, you know, with a mortgage and a...
Yeah, you've done it three times.
Yeah, three times. So, yeah. So, I guess I have to answer no. I mean, for me, it's not really possible. Not in the long run. Of course, you can. But back in your mind, you're always planning the next trip. And then after a couple of years, yeah, that urge gets too strong and you need to go away sailing again.
Marlin, what about you? Can you see yourself living on a boat for a very long time? Because some people live on boats forever, you know.
Yeah, I could, definitely. And I mean, you can always change boat, yeah. Like change home. But it's, I love living this way. Mm. It's very, you feel very free. So that's amazing.
It sounds like, you know, you're really enjoying yourselves, which is great. It's really, really nice to talk to somebody who's so positive and full of the joy of life, you know. I mean, but are there downsides along the way? You know, are there negative sides to living on a boat that you've found?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, living on a boat, you feel free, but it's not easy. It's
a lot of work, too. I mean, you need to maintain the boat.
Yeah, and everything you do takes a little bit longer than if you would live in a house. Taking a shower, cooking food, everything takes a little bit longer because there is not a lot of space. And, yeah, you need to think about a lot of things, like how much water do we have, how much electricity do we have, and... Yeah. Stuff like that, and we don't have a lot of storage to store things. So yeah, that's one downside, and all the work, especially with an old boat, it's you have to constantly maintain the boat,
and that's not very easy when you're living in it.
Sure, Marlin, did you take to sailing sort of pretty with ease, without any problems?
Yeah, I would say so. I was very eager to learn and to see how it is. But now, since we left Sweden on this was my first longer sail. I've had some troubles being seasick. So yeah, that I would say is the downside, and especially also. And I think especially many women who sail maybe with their partner, they feel the same, that they get worried. And I get worried sometimes if you think that, oh, if something will happen, what are we going to do if Johan, he falls or he hurt himself? What am I going to do? Because I don't have that much experience. Yeah, I've been a little bit worried and the seasickness, but I hope it will get better when I get more experience. So I'm looking forward to it anyway, and I think it's really fun.
Well, you know what? You're gaining experience every day. You know, you're getting more and more experience every day, and you've been going for several months now. So, you know, that's a lot more experience than is required to get your day skipper role.
Yeah, it's good that Johan is so experienced, so he teach me.
So I think actually your anxiety is... It'll dwindle away as your experience increases, right?
Yeah, I think so. And also, I'm looking forward to a longer passage. So I'm really looking forward now when we will sail to the Cape Verde Islands. That will take us around 5 to 6 days.
Yeah.
Many people say that it takes like 3 days to get your sea leg. So I'm looking forward to see if that's true.
What about homesickness? Have you been homesick at all? Do you miss lingonberry jam and Swedish meatballs?
I miss falafel, but that's not very Swedish. But
no, that's not very Swedish.
Yeah, food. Yeah. Definitely sometimes special food that you it's hard to find. Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength, you and I, because that's what I would miss. Certain foods, you know.
No, I think it's mostly that, and that it's so easy to get things. To get things in Sweden and to buy things what you need, and it's cheap, it's much cheaper than here, but
other
than
that, I mean,
and of course family and friends.
But nowadays, I mean, you can keep in touch with people quite good, you know, with Skype and so it's not, I don't know, I wouldn't say that I get homesick like that.
No, me neither.
Johan, what's you've lived on a boat for ages, Johan. So why? What is it that you love so much about living on a boat? What's the best thing, first of all, about living on a boat?
Best thing is, I guess, is that you can, you know, you can move your house. You can move around. If you don't like the surroundings anymore, you just take up the anchor or throw the lines and go to another place. So that must be the best thing with living on a boat. Second best thing, it's quite small, so you can't buy so much stuff because you don't have room for it, so that's also good.
That is a good way of looking at it, isn't it? That's a very positive way of looking at a smaller space, and it restricts you, it prevents you from buying the sort of stuff that you just don't need anyway.
We like to live simple. And to not have too much things around us. And even if we were living on the boat for a year in Sweden while we were working full-time and having all our friends with the houses and apartments, I didn't miss my old apartment or my furniture or my stuff, because we have everything we need here on the boat, and that's enough.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, if you're in a stormy anchorage someday, of course there are times when you're thinking, why are we on the boat now? And or when things break down, or, you know, but all in all, I think it's the best way to live.
How would you describe your relationship with the sea? Is the sea just a highway for you, or is it more than that?
For me, it's definitely more than a highway. It's, how do you say? I mean, the sea hasn't changed. I mean, when you look back, reading about history, historical events and such, the sea we're sailing is still the same. And it's just the lost wilderness, or some of it, I guess.
Yeah, and we're both from the coast. I've been living close to the sea my whole life, and for me it's really important to live close to the sea. I feel I need that freedom, that feeling it gives me. I could never imagine to live inland and not have the sea close to me, and now we're living on the sea, so I couldn't ask for more. And for me it's the same. It's just, it's much more than a highway. It's a you need to have a lot of respect for the sea also. It's beautiful. We have stuff falling on the deck.
Yeah, the wind is coming up here in the marina now. So.
Well, I will leave you to go and stow your loose items. And I've really enjoyed watching your videos so far. Keep them coming. Malin and Johan, thank you both very much indeed for talking to Boat Radio.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.